Good morning. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, the first through the 18th verse. It's on page 1239. Treasures in jars of clay. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow in the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wearing away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for this day. We ask that you use us as vessels of your word, of your mercy and your grace. We ask that you bless Pastor Joseph and his ministry and his church, that it would grow in the way you'd have it to grow. You continue, God, to make us the jars, peace and love that you've created us to be, and help us to be servants in this time you've given us on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
The temptation for a church or a pastor to present the gospel in such a way that will be interesting and exciting is always there. The temptation for a church, a pastor, a church, a denomination to present all the positive things as they feel they are positive, and the very easy things to deal with, to present them in such a way that people will come in and like lobsters will be trapped in a trap, and then they will find out that there is more to Christianity or there is more to be a Christian than just looking at the good things that this religion or church offers. So, because the temptation is there, You have meetings, and I've been to meetings of being on the, in the past on board, boards of directors to look for something that will be like a bait to bring people in. And so this was going on even in the days of the apostles. The first six verses of chapter 2 on 2 Corinthians chapter 4 emphasize the serious responsibility of every Christian to make the message of the gospel, which is the good news, clear. There should be nothing hidden or mysterious. All must be clear, honest, and sincere. And in the past, there were denominations or churches that would say, believe and do not investigate, don't ask. Actually, our faith is not a blind faith. No, our faith, my faith, is a seeing faith. Yes, I cannot explain exactly how God works, and I cannot explain a lot of things, and yet I know that He is the only living and miraculous God, and full of miracles God, that has touched millions, if not billions, of hearts and changed them. There were some things Paul refused to do. He refused to use underhanded, deceitful practices to get followers. And this should be actually emphasized time after time in our meetings as a church, as an organization, as Christians, that there should be nothing underhanded, nothing confusing, nothing that is deceitful to get followers. Jesus never did that. Jesus always presented the truth and told them where they were going unless they changed their hearts. But there were false teachers who were doing these things in the days of Paul. He says, and I'm quoting, "Rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways to do. We do not use this deception, nor do we distort the word of God." In other words, Paul is saying, we do not try to trick people into believing the message of Jesus Christ or use the word deceitfully. But many today, preachers, teachers, and believers in general, use the Bible deceitfully by mixing philosophy and error with God's truth. They try to make the Bible say what it does not say. Paul's ministry was honest. He used the word of God in an open, honest way and encouraged people to search the scriptures for themselves. We must never twist or corrupt the word of God to attempt to win converts. We must handle the word with good conscience toward man. A paraphrased version by Phillips goes this way. We use no hocus pocus, no clever tricks, no dishonest manipulation of the word of God. We speak the plain truth and so commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, writes Phillips. After speaking about the obligation to keep the gospel message of Christ unchanged and plain, now the apostle speaks of the human instrument, the vessel to which the precious treasure has been placed. He speaks of a message. He speaks of a jar. And he says, the treasure is the message of salvation. This is what the treasure is, the message of salvation. And the jar of clay is the frail human body. And I don't know if you ever been called a crackpot or weird or anything like that. Yes, God's power is in this frail human heart. Clay jars were common in Paul's days, so Paul uses them to give a good metaphor to illustrate the fragility of human messengers in contrast to the valuable treasures of the message of salvation. Clay jars had little value, and their beauty did not attract attention to themselves and their preoccupation and precious content. Clay pots leak, they crack or chip. They are designed to be functional, and when they are damaged, to be discarded. The jar can be seen, but the treasure inside them is unseen. We may be clay jars, and yet in this clay jar is a treasure that is more precious, more powerful, more life-changing than any treasure anywhere. By looking at the fragile jars of clay, people may think that we are powerless, cracked pots, and they may want to ignore the message and the power of Christ's resurrection. And very often I will get a little upset or angry when I hear preachers and teachers elevate themselves to the point of almost sounding like a god or put it on a pedestal where only God belongs. And when someone gets up and preaches and he says, I have so much experience, I have the power of God, I have preached thousands and thousands of messages, and I have done this, and I'm telling you this is the truth, then what he or she is saying is that God is not speaking right now. It is I speaking to you, and therefore listen to me. And that is why people either respond to that message and join them or join him or her or leave the church. But they will not go, or many will not associate with a preacher who has a speech impediment. He stumbles when he preaches. His voice is really and maybe a little annoying. And he may be whatever, not dressed well. And they say, oh man, he doesn't even have the gift. And yet the gift is in the heart. The gift is in that crack, ugly looking, if you wish, sometimes a pot, clay pot, is like the clay pot lantern or lamp that my grandparents had back in Greece. It was an ugly looking thing, and yet when you would put a petroleum in there and light it, it would give life. It was not important. It is not important how that jar looks. What is important is what's in that jar and the light and the warmth that jar, that message gives. We have become people that look on the outside, and we decorate that jar, and we may make it gold-plated, and we put it on a high pedestal, and we do this, and people admire that jar so much that they don't even care what's in that jar anymore. When Apostle Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed, he means that even though he is constantly pressed by people and men and many difficulties, yet he is not stopped from spreading the light, because his ministry is not to have converts. His mission was not to look good, to sound good. His mission was to be a light wherever he was. It was to deliver that message of eternal life through Jesus Christ. This was his message. That is why people hated him. That is why he ended up in Rome, in jail, in prison. That is why all the apostles were killed. That is why many were thrown into to the lions. And that is why even today people, Christians, and in countries where Christianity is forbidden, are in prisons, and yet that light, you cannot put it out. The message spreads in a prison. The message spreads in a country where Christianity is forbidden, because that is the living, powerful light of eternity. Even though the lamps were made of clay, and they were fragile and not very impressive, they served a very important role of giving light in their homes. But these clay lamps were useless without oil. What made them important was the light they gave, not the vessel itself. If there is no Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in that clay pot, there is nothing. It's useless. It's only good for nothing. You throw it in the garbage. Unless you want to use it as a decoration, like this tree here. It's only a decoration. It's lifeless. Gives nothing. It does nothing that other than to deceive people that I am a tree. And those who do not have the truth of the Holy Spirit, those who do not teach and preach because the Holy Spirit is using them as vessels, are preaching and teaching something that it's not in there. We have no power without God's presence in our life. He provides the oil for the lamp, and He keeps it burning and spreading the light. Perplexed, but not in despair, he says. From the human standpoint, he did not know or have all the answers and solutions to his difficulties. And yet, the Lord never allowed him to reach the place of despair.
Are you ever disappointed?
Disappointed we all can be. But desperation is something that shouldn't be there, because we know who holds tomorrow and today. And because we have entrusted our life in His hand. Yes, disappointed, sad, and yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, Apostle Paul says. There were times he could feel the enemy was about to defeat him, and yet God never abandoned him.
There may come a time that you feel that you have reached the end of your rope. You may hear of people committing suicide, and you say, "Oh my goodness, why did he or she commit suicide?" And yet when you are so desperate, so rejected, so despised, so alone, so lonely, and there is no God or anyone to hold you and strengthen you, or to look up to and pray to and ask for His help, you may never understand them. And yet there comes a moment that desperation leads to ending that
the life. Persecuted, but not forsaken. And I get many phone calls, or people speak to me, how what kind of pressure they find themselves in. It could be a family problem, it could be a relationship problem, it could be losing a job, and there are those who have called us and told us, or have written to say that I've lost my job, I got to pay my bills. Desperation sets in. And then you have loved ones who despise me, or they say they don't like me anymore because they say I lost my job because I'm a Christian, because I'm practicing a life that they don't agree with. And yet Apostle Paul says, yes, I've been persecuted, but not forsaken. God has never forsaken anyone. And then he talks about being struck down but not destroyed. Paul was willing to suffer for his faith in Christ, and yet he was not destroyed. Paul was willing to suffer for his faith. And I know those of you who have shared with me that they've lost their job or they quit their job because they now shared with the boss or those around them that they are now cannot do the things that they used to do, or because now they are Christian and what they've been doing is not proper for them, and so they are thrown out and they find themselves alone. And yet God will never forsake them, struck down but not destroyed. We may wonder why the Lord allowed him to go through so many testings and trials. And Apostle Paul has a list of things that he had been through, gone through. And he talks about almost losing his life a few times, that he has been, that he destroyed, attacked by his family, attacked by his brethren, attacked by enemies, attacked and shipwrecked and all that, and yet never that light went out. That clay and cracked, an Apostle Paul describes himself in a place that he is not, people were not impressed with his looks and with his speech. Paul probably was someone that had difficulties maybe seeing or whatever the problem was, and yet he was carrying a precious gift in there. I was reading the other day about a discovery. There was a museum that they had a lot of pots, clay pots, and people were visiting them, and some of them were cracked, others were broken. And there was a young person, or two young people, were going through that museum, and through the crack they realized that the bottom, or the bottom of that clay jar was shiny, or the light was on it, and something was reflected, a light or something. Anyway, so they called the museum director and they showed it to him. And they then very carefully picked up that jar. They took inside, examined it, and they realized that the bottom part was very thick. And embedded in that bottom part was a lot of gold leaves. And they didn't realize that cracked pot, which was there only to look at, now contained the treasure in there. And that's how we, the born-again true followers of Jesus Christ, are. We are cracked pots. We are fragile. We don't look great sometimes. People, we don't talk as they talk sometimes. We're not as fun to be with sometimes. And yet, in this frail part, there is a message of eternal life, the power of Jesus Christ that changes lives. And if we don't use that power, and if we don't let that power be reflected or shine, then we are useless crackpots. But the Bible teaches that just the opposite, actually. God, in His wisdom, allows His children to be touched by sickness, sorrow, affliction, persecution, difficulties, and disappointments. That's because we may think that we could have served the Lord more effectively if He had been a little more careful and tried to be if we had tried to be more careful and politically correct. And this being politically correct for a pastor, for a teacher, for a church, for a denomination, has become such a huge enemy, if you wish, of the truth. The enemy of the truth is covering up the truth, make it sound better, coloring it up to hide some of the cracks, and yet the truth must always be held as the truth, and not necessarily use political jargon to cover it up. All are allowed or designed to break the clay jars so the light of the gospel might shine out more clearly. We must allow that light to shine. God is allowing us to crack sometimes. Sometimes to have a little chip broken so the light will come even brighter. In verses 16 to 18 we read, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. No matter how beautifully Elise sings, while we're listening to her, we enjoy it. But we go home and the pressures and all these things cover up or make us forget that melody or the sound. Because it's temporary. But the light of God, but the eternal hope in our hearts, but that power in that clay, the body of clay, made of clay, is always there. It's eternal, forever. God has put the treasure of life in our perishable bodies. What are we doing with this precious treasure? Are we wasting it away? Or we are letting the light shine? You may feel that you are only a clay pot. So fragile, so scarred, and feeling inadequate. But please remember that inside this clay pot, there is the great treasure of power and life. You may feel inadequate, and yet there is adequate power in there. You may feel as a cracked, chipped, whatever, ugly-looking pot, and yet in that pot there is enough power not only to change your life, not only to change your future, but also to influence and help many around you if you are willing to share this. I'm very concerned these days with our children and grandchildren and our young teenagers in the church because they don't have anything to look at, to learn from. Oh, you say, I'm a good mother. Yes, I'm a good father. Yes, you are a good mother, but you are a good mother to a limit. Your powers are limited. What they need is a real powerful example, role models. And the only way they will receive that power, that light, if you shine, if you reflect Christ in your daily life. And our teenagers are attracted, pulled. The magnetic power and field pulls them into the world, into temporary things, into temporary joys. And yet we as the leaders must know that there is a way of saving these souls by becoming the example. The most we can do, of course, is to reflect Christ in our lives and then to love them and be compassionate toward them. I would like to repeat this statement. You may feel that you are only a clay pot, so fragile, so scarred, so feeling inadequate, but please remember that inside this clay pot, there is the great treasure of power and life. Also remember that our imperfect humanity is no hindrance to God's holy purpose. Our imperfect humanity is no hindrance to God's holy purpose. God is not looking for perfect people because there aren't any. He knows. He is looking for people who are willing to become those clay pots where he's going to put his power. He's going to fill it with this saving power so they can shine and be used now to save many through Jesus Christ. The jar may be of clay, but it contains a great treasure. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for creating us the way we are. I am who I am, and yet without you I'm nothing. But when you come into my life, when you came, you've changed everything. When you come into our lives, no matter how pressed we are, how young or how old we are, there is enough power to change and to make our lives meaningful. And we thank you for that power, Lord. And now may the grace of our God touch each one of us. Lord, teach us how to live lives that are useful and reflecting you in our daily life. May we glorify your name. Amen.